Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, I want you to look at your calendar for a second. The date is January 26, 2026. It has been exactly 2 years since the tech world, kind of shifted on its axis, or at least it tried to.
It feels like an entire decade ago in tech years. You're talking about the launch of the original Apple Vision Pro.
Right. And I remember that whole hype cycle perfectly. The reviews came out, and everyone was just ecstatic about the technology. They were calling it magic, the future.
And then came the price.
And then came the price, that other number that just sucked all the air out of the room,
Yeah.
$3,500.
That price tag was a force field. It basically just told 99% of people, like, this is not for you.
Yeah.
It turned what could have been a consumer revolution into what, a very, very expensive dev kit. It was a beta test you had to finance like a car.
Exactly. But, okay, that brings us to today.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten our hands on a new report that is making some serious waves this morning.
I've been reading it all morning.
It's titled Apple Vision Air: The Evolution of Spatial Computing. And it's from an analyst who goes by Inspector Gemini.
And Gemini has a track record.
A serious one.
Oh.
The report claims to have everything: supply chain leaks, design renders, basically the entire blueprint for the Vision Pro's successor.
And the headline isn't just the tech.
No, it's the price. The rumor is they're targeting $1,500 to $1,600.
That's massive. We are talking about slashing the price by nearly 60%.
That's a $2,000 haircut.
Yeah.
And, that's really the mission for this deep dive. I want to
Yep.
figure out how on earth do you take a device famous for being over-engineered, cut 2 grand out, and not end up with, a piece of junk?
It's the ultimate engineering puzzle, isn't it? And looking at this report, the answer isn't just make it cheaper. It's about what they call surgical removal.
Surgical removals.
Yeah, they didn't just swap parts. They seem to have fundamentally changed the entire philosophy of the device.
Okay, so let's start with the most expensive piece of that puzzle: the screen. The original Vision Pro had those micro OLED displays from Sony.
Unbelievable
I remember
displays.
putting it on and just, you couldn't see a single pixel. It was flawless.
It was. And Sony's tech was basically OLED on silicon. Think semiconductor manufacturing. But for screens, the problem was yield. Sony could barely make enough of them.
So there's a hard ceiling on production.
A very hard ceiling, which kept the price stratospheric.
So what's the fix for the Vision Air? What does the report say?
Well, according to Inspector Gemini, Apple has severed ties with Sony for this model. They're moving to high-density OLED panels from Samsung Display and LG Display.
Wait, hold on a second. That sounds like a red flag to me.
Mm.
We're going from this exotic, boutique Sony tech to Samsung. The same screens on everything else.
I know.
Doesn't that mean the magic is gone? Am I going to see the screen door effect?
That is the immediate fear, right? That it's just a straight-up downgrade. And, technically, if you look at the spec sheet, it is.
How much of a downgrade?
The pixel density is dropping from about 3,400 pixels per inch, or PTI, on the Sony panels down to roughly 2,500 on the new ones.
Okay, that's a 30% drop. That sounds significant.
It sounds significant on a spreadsheet, but here's the nuance, and Gemini's report makes a great point here. 3,400 PPI is practically microscopic.
It's overkill.
Total overkill. The report compares this shift to the difference between Apple's Retina and Super Retina displays.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning the Vision Pro was over spec. It was sharper than the human eye could even fully appreciate. Dropping to 2,500 PPI is still way sharper than any 4K TV you've ever owned. You will not see the pixels.
So they were basically paying for a level of perfection that nobody actually needed.
Precisely. And by switching to Samsung and LG, they tap into massive manufacturing scale. These companies can churn out millions of panels. That supply chain shift alone accounts for a huge chunk of that $2,000 price drop.
Okay, I can accept that. If it still looks good, I'm happy. But this next cut, this one feels like they're removing a feature I actually thought was kind of cool. The cameras.
Ah, the sensor monster.
The original had 12 cameras. It was like a spider wearing a helmet. But the report says they are gutting that camera array. Specifically, the dedicated 3D camera for recording spatial video is gone.
Gone completely.
But that was the emotional hook. I remember the ads, the dad recording his kid's birthday, reliving the memory in 3D. If you take that away, aren't you kind of killing the heart of the product?
I'd argue they're actually saving the product from itself. I mean, be honest with me. When you saw those ads of the dad wearing a computer on his face at his kid's party,
Yeah.
what was your gut reaction?
I mean, yeah. It looked a little dystopian, like he wasn't really there in the moment.
It was weird. It created this huge friction point. To capture a spontaneous moment, you had to run, find the headset, strap it on, boot it up. By the time you do all that, the moment is long gone.
That's a fair point. It's not exactly point and shoot.
Not at all. So Apple is making a really strategic pivot here. They're outsourcing creation to the device that's already in your hand, the iPhone 17 or 18.
So the phone does all the work.
The phone has the sensors. It has the processing. You capture the 3D video with your phone, which is normal, socially acceptable, and always in your pocket. And then you use the headset strictly to watch it.
Ah, okay, I see. So the phone is the camera. The Vision Air is the movie theater.
Right. And think about the engineering implications there. By removing those recording cameras, you remove the need for the image signal processors. You remove the heat those chips generated. It simplifies the whole motherboard.
It's a domino effect.
It is always a domino effect. And that leads us to the biggest domino of all, the feature that everyone loved to hate, eyesight.
Boy, the googly eyes.
The external screen that showed that digital render of your eyes to people in the room.
I remember when they announced that. They made such a huge deal about connection and not being isolated. But in practice, it looked like a blurry ghost in the shell thing.
It was deep in the uncanny valley. And the Gemini report confirms it. Eyesight is dead. The Vision Air has no external display at all.
Okay, so it looks better because we don't have the creepy eyes, but is that just about aesthetics?
No. This is the single most important engineering decision in the whole device. It is the key that unlocks everything else.
How so?
Well, think about what eyesight actually was. It wasn't just a screen. It was a curved OLED panel. Under a lenticular lens, under a heavy piece of curved laminated glass.
That sounds incredibly heavy.
It is incredibly heavy. When you just delete that entire stack, you instantly shed nearly 100 grams from the front of the device.
And since it's on the front, that's all leverage. It's all weight pulling your head down.
Exactly. But it gets better. Think about the battery. On the Vision Pro, the battery had to power the internal screens and the external screen. It was burning power just to show your eyes to a room that might be empty.
So by cutting the creepy eyes, you get way better battery life for the stuff you actually want to do.
Massive gains in power efficiency. And, of course, cost. That external screen assembly was a manufacturing nightmare. Deleting it saves money, it saves weight, and it saves power. It's a triple win.
It seems so obvious in hindsight. But I want to talk about what replaces it. If there's no glass screen on the front, what's there?
They're moving to a sleek, matte plastic, or maybe even a fabric mesh. Think about the material on a HomePod, or maybe a pair of high-end sport sunglasses.
Plastic, doesn't that feel cheap? We're so used to Apple giving us aluminum and glass.
You know, cheap is the wrong word. I think purposeful is better. Glass is fragile. Glass is a fingerprint magnet. By moving to a high-quality polymer, the device becomes more durable. You can toss it on the couch without having a panic attack.
Right.
It stops feeling like this delicate piece of scientific equipment and starts feeling more like a wearable.
Like a pair of sneakers versus a pair of glass slippers.
But that's a perfect analogy.
Okay, so we've stripped the outside. Let's look at the brain.
Sure.
The original Vision Pro ran on the M2 chip. That's a desktop-class chip. Same one in the MacBook Air. But the report says the Vision Air is switching to the A19. Or maybe a binned A18 Pro. That is a phone chip. It's the chip for the iPhone 18.
Yep.
I have to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Isn't that a massive downgrade? Going from a computer chip to a phone chip to run virtual reality? That sounds like it's going to stutter and lag.
I get the skepticism. I do. On the surface, moving from an M series to an A series chip sounds like a huge step backward. But we have to look at how the image is being created. And this brings us to a piece of tech called dynamic foveated rendering.
That is a mouthful. Break that down for me.
Okay. Imagine you are standing in a pitch black room with just a flashlight.
Okay.
You turn the flashlight on. Wherever that little beam of light hits, the world is bright, it's crisp, it's detailed. But outside that beam, it's all dark and fuzzy.
Right.
The Vision Air works exactly like that flashlight. So even though they removed the external cameras, they kept the eye tracking cameras inside. The chip knows precisely where your pupil is looking. Down to the millimeter.
So it knows where my flashlight is pointing.
Exactly. And the A19 chip only renders that tiny circle in full 4K resolution. Everything else, all your peripheral vision, which is physically blurry to humans anyway, is rendered at a much, much lower quality.
That is genius. It's lazy, but it's genius.
It is incredibly efficient. By doing this, they reduce the workload on the GPU by up to 70%.
70%.
Yes. So even though the A19 is technically less powerful than the M2, it doesn't need to be. It's working smarter, not harder. And here's the kicker. Because that phone chip draws less power and does less work, it generates way less heat.
And less heat means?
You don't need the massive dual fans and the heavy copper heat sinks that were inside the Vision Pro. You can get away with passive cooling or maybe a single silent whisper fan.
Which brings us right back to weight.
It all comes back to weight. The Vision Pro failed because it literally hurt to wear it. It weighed 650 grams.
It's like strapping a hardcover book to your face.
People were returning it because they were getting actual neck strain. For Project N107, that's the code name for Vision Air, the target is under 400 grams.
That is a massive diet.
It puts it in the same league as the MetaQuest 3. It crosses that threshold from painful after 20 minutes to I can actually watch a whole movie in this.
And I see they're also fixing the strap. That solo knit band on the first one was beautiful, but it was so over-engineered.
It was like a piece of Swiss clockwork, and it was terrible for weight distribution. The new design is a simple elastic Velcro mechanism.
Like ski goggles.
Exactly like ski goggles. And you know why skiers wear that design? Because it works. It distributes weight, it's cheap to make, and it doesn't break. Sometimes the boring answer is the right one.
So we have a lighter, cheaper, cooler device.
Yeah.
But let's talk about why I would buy it. Because with the Vision Pro, Apple tried to tell us this was a spatial computer.
Yes.
They wanted us to replace our Macs, do Excel spreadsheets floating in midair.
And the market collectively just shrugged. Nobody wants to stand in their living room waving their hands around to navigate a spreadsheet. It's exhausting.
So what's the new pitch? If it's not a computer, what is it?
It's the ultimate iPhone accessory.
That's a huge shift in narrative.
It's massive. They are pivoting completely from productivity to consumption. The report mentions a new handoff feature that sounds like pure Apple magic.
Okay, how does that work?
Imagine you're on the subway, you're watching a movie on your iPhone 18, you get home, you walk through your front door, you pick up your Vision Air, you just tap your phone against the side of the headset.
And it just transfers.
Instantly. The audio moves to the spatial speakers, the video just explodes into a 100-foot screen. No menus, no clicking, just tap and go.
Okay, that is cool. That's very cool. But is that enough to sell a $1,500 device?
Think about the flight scenario. This is the use case that I think actually sells millions of these things.
You're on a 6-hour flight. You're in economy. The person in front of you has reclined their seat into your lap. You are miserable. You have your iPhone.
We've all been there.
You put on the Vision Air. Because it's light, you don't get a headache.
Yeah.
Because the battery's better, it lasts the whole flight. And suddenly, you are not in seat 34B anymore. You are in a private cinema. You're escaping.
Escaping? That is a much easier sell than working.
It appeals to a universal desire, you know? People hate being bored and cramped. The Vision Pro tried to change how we work, which is hard. The Vision Air just wants to upgrade how we chill, which is easy.
But we have to look at the landscape. By late 2026, Apple isn't going to be the only player here.
Not at all. The Shirks are circling. You've got the MetaQuest 4.
Which is probably going to be around $500.
Right. And Meta owns gaming. If you want to play Beat Saber or shoot zombies, you're buying a Quest. And you know why? Because it has controllers.
Apple still refuses to make controllers. They're being so stubborn about it. Sticking to hand tracking only. Which is great for movies, but it is terrible for gaming. You need that tactile feedback.
So Meta wins the gamers. What about Samsung?
Samsung is the wild card. They're launching a headset powered by Google's Android XR platform. It'll probably sit around $1,000.
Google and AR? That is a rocky history. Google Glass, anyone.
Exactly. Its success depends entirely on the software polish. If it's buggy, it's dead on arrival. But if it works seamlessly with Galaxy phones, it could squeeze Apple from the bottom.
So Apple is sitting at the top of the price bracket at $1,500. It's still expensive. I mean, for that money, I could buy a really, really nice OLED TV.
That is true. But the Inspector Gemini report argues, and I think I agree, that we need to reframe the value proposition.
How so?
Don't compare it to a Quest. Compare it to a New York apartment. Imagine you're 25 years old. You live in a shoebox apartment in Manhattan or London or Tokyo. You physically cannot fit a 65-inch OLED TV. You certainly can't fit a Dolby Atmos surround sound system. You just don't have the wall space.
That's a reality for a lot of people.
For $1,500, the Visionaire gives that person a home theater setup that usually costs $10,000 and requires a living room the size of a barn, and it fits in a backpack.
That actually makes a lot of sense. It's a space-saving device as much as it is a tech device.
Exactly. It democratizes the high-end theater experience for people who just don't have the real estate for it.
So, the verdict. Inspector Gemini basically says, the Vision Pro is the prototype, and the Vision Air is the actual product.
I think that's the perfect summary. The Vision Pro was Apple just showing off, look what we can build. The Vision Air is the product you might actually want to buy. It respects your wallet, your neck muscles, and your social life a little bit more.
And the timeline is looking like late 2026.
Yeah.
Probably the September keynote, right alongside the iPhones. So we have some time to save up.
Start a piggy bank now.
Before we wrap up, though, I want to leave you with one final thought. We spent a lot of time praising the removal of eyesight, the digital eyes.
Yeah.
We agreed it was smart engineering. It saved weight, battery, cost.
It was the logical move, for sure.
But I can't shake the philosophical implication. When Apple launched that first headset, they were obsessed with saying, this isn't isolating. People can still see you. They tried to engineer a bridge between the user and the room.
They wanted social spatial computing. That was the phrase.
Right. But by deleting eyesight, Apple has officially thrown in the towel on that idea. They've admitted that this device is a blindfold. It is for isolation.
That's a really profound shift.
We've made the device technically better by, in a way, making the user experience more lonely. We turned off the feature that connected us to the outside world so the battery would last longer inside the virtual one.
And it raises a real question about the future, doesn't it? Are we heading toward a world where we're all sitting in the same room, physically together, but completely alone in our own private optimized theaters?
Alone together. It's something to mull over while you wait for 2026. That's it for this deep dive into the Apple Vision Air. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.